Someone left some change up here, if anyone wants that. All right. Are you giving it? Are you paying me to do this? That's cool. Hey, guys, who's eighth graders in here? Guys, let me tell you, I know you guys aren't going to Elevate, so you don't have to listen. But you guys over here, hey, come to Elevate. It's going to be really, really awesome. We're going to have a good guest speaker this year. If you're not in eighth grade, you can't come, but I'll give this to you anyways, okay? There you go. Hey, guys, is it cool if I take my sandals off and do this barefoot? You guys cool with that? All right. If you're not, some people said they were, so take it up with them. Guys, guys, I really like coming back here and teaching. It's fun for me because you guys have so much energy, because you guys are so passionate for the Lord. You're so passionate in your worship. And so coming back here is really fun for me. I put on small shirts and I cut them up. So guys, I just thank you for listening to me and inviting me back. But tonight I want you guys to we're going to start off a little differently than maybe you guys are used to. I want you guys to all close your eyes. Okay? And I want you guys, we just celebrated Easter, and I know Kevin went through a message, so I want to take you back to that scene in Jerusalem. I want you guys to imagine where we just saw Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And I want you guys to imagine Jesus breaking bread with them and telling his disciples, one of you guys will betray me, and I'm going to give that bread to that person now dipped in juice. And that bread's passed to Judas. Judas gets offended and runs away, only to betray Jesus. And then Jesus breaks bread on the Last Supper. They're in the upper room. He's talking to his disciples. And he's telling them what's going to happen. And they have the Last Supper. And I want you guys to imagine the supper's over. And Jesus hangs for a little while, and they just hang with each other, and they're worshiping, and you can just imagine the intensity of that room. But then it's over, dinner's over, and Jesus gets up, and the disciples follow, and they leave the upper room, and they go downstairs, and they start walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. They're on the south side of Jerusalem, so imagine they're taking a right. And they end up coming upon the left side of the temple. And if you guys, I want you guys to picture this temple, this magnificent building. Some say up to 6 stories high. Marble, gold, solid stone. And that's the temple they're walking by. And on the door entrance to the temple, there's this gigantic vine with fruit coming from the vine. In fact, the vine is so big, the vine is just so you guys know, it's solid gold. And the vine is so big that the fruit is said to be bigger than a grown man. There's so much detail on this vine and on this fruit that Josephus says that it almost looked like it was wet. There was so much detail. It looked like it had just been watered. And as they're walking by the temple to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stops and he tells his disciples a parable. In fact, it's not just a parable. It's the last parable that Christ will ever say here on earth. Now, I want you guys to open your eyes now. You guys picture this? Can you guys feel that vibe? That seriousness of the night? If you guys get this, you're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. Anyone know what happens at the Garden of Gethsemane? Anybody? That's right. Judas comes with the Roman soldiers and betrays Jesus. And from that garden on, from that point on, Jesus is then taken, he's tried, he's beaten, and then he is crucified and killed and buried. So this parable is almost the last thing that Jesus teaches. I mean, teaches, not lessons to be learned, but teaches his disciples before he's killed. So let's read, open your Bibles to John 15. And we're going to read 1 through 8. And imagine the mood. I want you guys to feel that mood. The seriousness of God himself saying, someone will betray me tonight and I will be dead tomorrow. Essentially, I'll be dead tomorrow. So let's read. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire to be burned. Now if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask and you what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now you guys may just read that kind of quickly. You probably haven't had time to study, of course. And all you hear is a lot of vines, a lot of fruit, a lot of abiding. A little confusing there. But I want you guys to picture, he's essentially, anyone know what the Green Mile is? Anybody? The Green Mile, if you guys don't know, in jail, when you're in jail and you're on death row, they call it the Green Mile, or they did in this movie. And it's essentially the walk that you take from your jail cell to the death chamber. So essentially imagine Jesus is walking his green mile. He knows that this is the last time he'll walk this road this way, and he's going to pray to God and say, hey, take this from me if you can, but if this is the only way, kill me. So he's walking his green mile, and he stops in front of the temple, you can imagine, and he tells his disciples, and he starts talking about foliage. He starts talking about fruit, and I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like you would expect, like, such a serious time, and you can kind of feel that intensity, and he's just like, yeah, there's this tree and the fruit, and oh, you're just like that. Well, I don't get it. I really didn't understand it, but then I started like kind of looking at a vine. I haven't done any research lately on foliage of that sort. Maybe Courtney from Indiana knows more about planting and farming and stuff like that, but I'm not a big, you know, future farmer of America or anything like that. So I'm thinking, why did God use this analogy? Why did Jesus use this analogy at this time? What's the importance? So tonight we're going to find that out. We're not only going to find out what the analogy means, but we're really going to find out what does that mean to us here today, 2008. We're not farmers. We don't get this kind of stuff. So the first thing that we see, or the first thing I notice at least, is the vine. Well, what exactly about the vine are we talking about? Well, the Bible speaks of a vine three times in three, I guess, three different manners. The first vine is mentioned by the old prophets, minor and major prophets. In fact, it's actually in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea. They refer to Israel, the nation of Israel, as the vine or the vineyard. But the funny thing is they never really talk about it in a good way. You guys know what I mean? Like, it's always kind of like talking down about it. Like, oh, that wild vine. It bears wild fruits. It always talks about a degenerate vine. It talks about a vine that is out of control, that doesn't bear fruit. If it does, it's not productive fruit. It's a vineyard that's overgrown. It's not been, I guess, trimmed up or whatever. But it talks about the nation of Israel as this vine. Hence the reason on the temple, you'll see that vine. Because the nation of Israel is so proud of being the vine in which the promise of Abraham would come from. But they didn't ever really get that they were like a weed kind of vine. Okay? So we have one type of vine in the Old Testament kind of making fun or talking down about the nation of Israel. Then you have the vine here where Jesus says, I am the true vine. I'm the vine that God has sent to redeem and to fulfill the promise that was promised to Abraham. He's saying, hey, the nation of Israel is not going to be able to do this. They have messed up. In fact, there was a blood curse on it. There was no way the nation of Israel was going to be able to be productive as the promise. So God sent perfection and the true vine to fulfill those promises, okay? And we'll dig a little deeper on what the vine truly means and why this vine is being used as a metaphor. And then finally, the third vine is in the book of Revelation. And there's two vines mentioned there, and it's the vine of heaven and the vine of earth. And it says that all of us will either be a branch from the vine of heaven or the branch of a vine of earth, which essentially means either we are going to be in heaven or we are going to be in hell, the vine of earth being the devil, the vine of heaven being the true vine. So we see the second vine again appear in Revelation, but you see another one down on earth. So those are the three vines. Tonight we're going to kind of go through, I guess, the first two, maybe more of the second one. But before we kind of get into maybe how this translates to us or how this comes about today, I did some research today through some of our landscapers that come to Calvary. They clean up our campus. And I was actually walking to the cafe, and they were out there, and they blow with the blowers. I guess that's a scientific name. And they're out there, and they're blowing, and I never really get to talk to landscapers that often. So I went up to them, and I said, hey, could I just ask you a question? There's some vines over at Solomon's porch, and I started asking him questions. And he gave me, like, some really good info about vines that none of us would probably ever know. And unless it was in the Bible, we probably would never care. But vines are some of the most powerful forces of nature that are out there. We don't really catch that because we live in New Mexico. The tumbleweed is probably the closest vine that we have. But vines have actually been known to shatter windows. They'll press up against the window so long that the window will eventually just pop and shatter. In fact, there's a picture that I have of one. A vine grew underneath a sealed window. It actually, the window is sealed, and it grew and forced its way underneath, okay? Vines have also been known to grow right through a roof of a house, and they don't shatter the roof. In fact, it slowly creeps in and expands, and then one day there's a leak, and you can't figure out why. It's because a vine has penetrated the roof, thickened its core or its trunk, and grown into the roof. And in the jungles where there's actually like real manly vines, they've actually been known to take houses that are in the jungle and take them off of their foundation. They will go underneath and they'll just like essentially pop a house off the ground. So we have some vines. There's a problem with vines. If you guys didn't know this, I don't know why you wouldn't know. In Southern America, like in Georgia, Florida, the Everglades, there's some forests down there that are being like suffocated right now. They're dying off because the vines thrive on carbon. And there's so much carbon in the air now from cars and or especially around the city areas down there that the vines have now taken over the jungles. Or the forest, I mean, down there. And they've essentially suffocated. And they've literally sucked the life out. They squeeze a tree until it can no longer produce fruit. And they've done this. And there's acres. There's thousands of acres of Everglades now that are just vines with these dead trees mixed in with them. So we have these vines, this freak of nature type of vine that they're out there. But the vine, like, here's what the landscaper told me, okay? When they come every year, they go to Solomon's porch, okay? And they planted these vines out there about 3 years ago. And every year when they come, they have like a spring cleaning in the fall, or I don't know what they call it. But they come and they essentially trim all the bushes here and kind of take them back. But when they go to the vines, they say they like it because they go through and they essentially tear the vine down. So it's all wrapped up and they'll pull it all down and they'll find branches, and they'll find branches like this. And the guy actually tore this off for me. I was really happy. They find branches like this. See, this branch right here is nothing. It's a branch, and it has no, like, I mean, it's got this little thing right here, but, I mean, it's all dried up. And they take it, and they tear it. And there's a certain way they tear it. And the guy who was there, I'm not sure if he was a Christian, but he understood the facets of what I was trying to get at, because I was telling him I'm talking about the vine tonight, and I want to know about the vine. And there's parts of Scripture which says that there are these vines and they are grafted in. You know, I have never got that. But vines, it's really kind of cool. If you have the actual vine, and this is the branch, and it was sitting in there kind of like that, okay? And to tear it out, if you were to tear the branch at any point, like just kind of try to rip it off, it would first off tear the branch, and it would ruin the vine, okay? It literally just kind of like tears it off, and it's not a good thing for the vine. The vine could be dead because you tear off a branch. But when it says it's grafted in, if you grab a branch from a vine, this is all history or science here, so pay attention, okay? If you grab it at the base and you pull it and then push down like that, kind of, you know, it will pop out. Like, it's almost like a joint. It's literally like popping out an arm out of joint, and it pulls it out. Now, it tears this. I mean, you guys can see it's kind of torn, but you should have seen the vine. The vine was like so smooth. It was like a perfect little pocket all around it, and it was literally like you could have got it and put it right back in. It was like, okay, cool. So when it talks about being grafted in and stuff like that, it means that essentially, okay, we tore this branch out and we could put another one in. That's kind of what it's talking about, because it's got this little dry socket right there. I just find that really cool, that's the way you break vines, okay? This is a vine. Now, other things about vines is the wood is... that's the word I was going to use. It's very bendy. The wood is worthless to anybody. It's too fragile to really make anything of it. You can't build anything of it. And if you light it on fire, it goes up so fast that it's not even good for heat. So essentially, branches and a vine, if they're not producing fruit, they're essentially worthless unless you have someone like me who just likes to, like, play with this. And I've been going around camps and I've been, like, kind of, no. So this is, like, my little toy. I've been doing this, like, all day. I don't know why. So anyways, the point I was making, I got way off track. So every year they go over there and they tear off branches like this that have no leaves, no fruit, no buds, nothing. And what they do, the reason they do that is if it's not, it's just sucking the life out of the vine itself. It's taking up space. And what ends up happening is it ends up wrapping, as you guys can kind of see it wraps, it ends up wrapping itself around the rest of the vine and dying, and it constricts the vine from growing anymore in that area. Other cool facts about a vine is if you have a vineyard, you have to be very particular on how you plant these vines. You can't set your stakes more than 12 feet from each other, because if a vine is too close to, or the stakes are too close, the vine will end up wrapping itself on itself and like literally choking itself to death. Okay? Other things about the vine is, you can see here, if you have a vineyard, you can't have any weeds, you can't have any debris, you have to have it perfectly clean, because if a branch comes out and a leaf fills something there, it will automatically grow around it and it will throw the vine off. Okay? One last fact about a vine, which I thought was kind of cool. For the first 3 years of a vine, if you're going to grow a vineyard or something like that, for the first 3 years of the vineyard's life, if this was the branch or if this was the vine, let's say, the first 3 years, it grows 1 year like that, you come and you like cut it off there and you prune it back all the way to like the stub. Then it grows again, and you prune it back again for the first 3 years, because vines are so aggressive that if you don't prune them for the first 3 years and they don't strengthen this part up, they'll end up producing so much fruit that it'll kill itself because it's like wasted all of its life and energy. So for the first 3 years, they get totally pruned back to grow more fruit. Okay? Everyone cool with the vine? Everyone kind of understand the science of this mythical creature, the vine? Okay? Also, Tarzan used them quite often. If you guys don't know, Tarzan was one of my heroes growing up, and he would swing from these. And I would encourage you guys, if you're at Solomon's Porch next time, really check out the vines over there, because they're doing some cool stuff now with these vines. They're like knotting them up and braiding them. Like, I don't know if man is doing that or if they just naturally braid themselves. They're totally taking over like the upper terrace that we have up there, or lattice or whatever, and they're starting to come down and like they're dripping on people. I don't know why we planted those vines over there, but according to the landscaper, it was the biggest mistake this church ever made. So, essentially the guy said they will take over. So you got to be careful if you have vines at your house. I went through a ton of pictures, and there's some creepy, like, old houses with, like, vines, or all you see is, like, a window and then shrubbery all over the house. Really kind of a, yeah, that one right there, see? I don't know how cool of a house that would be. I bet it's pretty dark, but that's my story on vines. I did a lot of research on vines. I was pretty excited about vines. You guys don't seem excited, but one, yeah. Give it up for vines. Yes. Hey guys, really quickly while you guys are cheering, there's someone in the room that likes to.
Will vine choke you if you touch it?
No, absolutely not. There's someone in the room that likes to build me up and build my confidence up. So I just want to give it up for Courtney because he wrote me this uplifting, loving note. Don't blow it. So I'm really going to try to impress Courtney and not blow it, okay? Anyways, back to the teaching, guys. So we have the vine. We have this massive force of nature. We have this vine who has these crazy stories of, you know, tearing up houses. But really, this chapter speaks more of the branches. It speaks of, I am the vine, but you are the branches. It speaks of a true branch and a fake branch, kind of. And in fact, on a vine, there's only two types of branches. There's one that bears fruit, and there's one that's not. There's not an in-between branch, which I thought was kind of cool. There's not one that kind of has some fruit down here, but out here it's dead. You either are productive as a branch, or you're non-productive. You either look like that, or you're blossoming with stuff, okay? So two types of branches, one that bears fruit, one that doesn't. Let me give you some history on some branches. You guys want to know about branches now? Okay. This is essentially a gardening show now, okay? We've totally taken this to a gardening level. But let me tell you, there's a point. I'm going to wrap all this up. Don't lose the... I'll tell you why all this matters, okay? Branches are used for the vine for a couple reasons. They are kind of like the tentacles of the vine. The vine is the massive thing that does this. The branches go out, and they kind of feel out what's out there. And if there's something that's there that they can latch onto, they feel that out. And the vine then extends out and wraps around it. Okay, so they reach out, they help it spread, they help the vine grow. So if you had a vine that was long and you cut every branch off, it would never grow again. Okay, the vine only grows if the branches go out and reach out and help it. Okay, the branches are the only part of the vine that bears fruit. They're the only part of the vine that buds, the only part of the vine that flowers, and they're normally the only part of the vine that actually produces leaves, okay? So the branches are what makes that effect, but the vine is like the power source of it. I'm trying to read all my facts, you guys. I want you guys to grasp the branch effect here, okay? Again, it's stressed that they've gotten like these vines in the Amazon, and they've taken the branches and cut them off. So, and I'm talking like vines that are four stories tall into these trees. And they've cut every branch off, and the vine like just stays there. It never moves again. It never reaches out for water. And it starts to try to produce that, and they keep cutting it off. And it essentially becomes like this huge log. I had a picture of it up there earlier. It's like this just log, and it just sits there. And what they end up using it for is that's what you see swinging. You know how you see people swinging on vines? Okay? That's what those are. Those are vines that they take the branches off of. Dude, that's really good. See that big one? It's all twisted up. Okay? They took that, and they cut all the branches off, and now it's a source for this tribe to swing out and like swing over like this bridge area or where a bridge should be. So we have Jesus, and he's essentially telling the story of this vine and the branch, and he's saying, look, I'm the vine. I'm the source of the power. I'm the one who provides water. I'm the one who provides nutrients, and I'm the one who's going to essentially give you growth. But you're the branches. You're going to be the branches that will go out and help this spread, okay? You are going to be the ones that bear fruit. I will empower you. I will give you what you need. I will give you all of what you need to grow, but you will be the ones bearing fruit. And what I really like about this, and what you guys got to kind of grasp here, okay, now that we kind of know the science of the vine and everything, is how true that is. He is saying, I am the vine and I've given you everything you need. First off, he said, I've given you the word that will cleanse you. I've essentially given my life for you, that you will be clean, that you will be cleansed, that you will be pruned and purified. And I've given you all your nutrients to go out and spread the word, to spread the gospel, to go out and spread my love and bear fruit. You guys grasp that? Okay. So that's why he uses his metaphor of the vine. We don't get it. We really don't. If I wouldn't have told you all that stuff, you would have thought, great, he's a vine. But what he's really saying is, look, I'm the power cord. I'm the one who's going to give you everything you need. You just have to do it. You have to make sure that your root, the base of your branch, stays inside of me, stays plugged in, stays being fed. As long as you stay inside the vine, I will then allow you to bear fruit and grow. But you read here, let me read it to you again. There's a part in here where he says something, and there's been questions about this, and we'll get into it a little bit about bearing fruit. He says this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you'll be taken away. But even if you bear fruit, you're going to go through a time of pruning. You're going to go through a time of cleansing. Imagine this, okay? Who's had a rough time in here before? No, you guys aren't? No rough times? Hard times, anybody? That's essentially what it is. Yeah, hard times, rough times. Had to define that for you. It's good. What it's saying is this. You guys are going to bear fruit. You guys are going to be Christians, and you're going to do my word. And you're going to show my love. But I'm still going to have to prune you back. I'm still going to have to cut you back. And the only reason I cut you back is so that you can then grow even more. You guys get that? So imagine every time you're going through a rough time and you're praying to God and you're saying, why do you do this, God? Like, why do you always put me through these hard times? Why am I suffering right now? And I see all these other Christians and they're having a grand old time out there. Well, the reason is because you've already bared so much fruit. He doesn't want you like the 3-year-old vine. He doesn't want you to use up all your energy and end up killing yourself and dying off. He wants you to stay passionate. He wants you to stay on fire. So he's going to prune you back. And when you prune a vine back, it like essentially doubles its crop, if you want to imagine it in FFA terms. So if you had like one thing of grapes on there, you did a great job, he'll prune that off, and that way the next time you'll have two of these. I don't know what these are called. Clusters of grapes, okay? So you'll have two clusters of grapes. But when there's a kind of a two-fold kind of thing here that I want you guys to know about. A lot of people take this verse, and when it says that if you do not bear fruit, I will cut you off and I'll let you wither, and then you will be taken and thrown into hell or to the fire. A lot of people take that verse and say, well, look, that means you can lose your salvation. So it doesn't mean you're saved, always saved. But that's not really what it means. Because look at the context. Remember when I took you through that story at the beginning? Do you remember what happens? He washes his disciples' feet. And then he tells them who's going to betray him. He's going to say, Judas, you're going to betray me. And what he's saying is, Judas, you were in the vine. People saw you and thought you were a branch of the vine. You were part of my disciples. But you never bore any fruit. So because you weren't really, you were kind of a poser, I'm going to take you out because you're fake. You're a fraud. You're not bearing any fruit because you're really not truly in there. Like that branch, I took it out and there was that socket and I could have put it back in, but it never would have produced fruit again because I broke that connection. You guys get that? Judas was just stuck in there in that socket and he looked like he was part of the vine. Just like if I go back right now and stick that back into that hole, it looks like it's in there. But in all reality, it's been disconnected and it'll dry up. It'll be taken away by the landscapers and it'll be thrown away. So that doesn't mean, oh, if you were once bearing fruit and now you're not, I'm going to take you off and give you to hell because you're worthless to me now. You're not bearing fruit. That's not at all. I want you guys to get that. If people ever tell you, well, this says that you can lose your salvation. No, it doesn't. He's addressing Judas. He's addressing people that say they're Christians and they're not Christians. He's addressing people that say one thing and do another. Do you guys get that? You guys kind of follow me? All right. So let's move on to the fruit. How many of you guys have heard of a fruit before? Christian fruit. Okay, it's kind of a Christianese. In fact, some people made fun of me today for saying fruit, bear fruit. But let me tell you, in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? They'll put the verse up there right now. Galatians 5:22 says this. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So the fruit of the Spirit, I kind of condensed down to a little bit less because two of them kind of seem very familiar. They were kind of similar. So we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Okay? How many of you guys use these words on a normal basis? Goodness? Faithful? You really do use goodness? Fantastic. Faithfulness? These aren't words that we kind of relate to, guys. So let me kind of put it to you in this way. Fruit of the Spirit. God says if you are in the vine, if you are staying in my word, if you have been cleansed by my son and purified, you will produce fruit. Well, we're not going to produce real fruit. We're going to produce fruit like this. Instead of love, even though we kind of understand love, let's take it to like we have to care for people. If someone's hurting, if you see someone in Velocity or school that's maybe down, and you go up to them instead of just saying like, "Hey, how you doing? Good? Fantastic." And just walk away. You know, just go up to him and say, "Hey, can we talk? You want to talk? You want to talk about this? Let me pray for you real quick." Instead of joy, we don't really exude joy anymore in our society. Just be happy. Guys, you have the best gift in the world. You've been saved. You know eternity is going to be spent with God. Be happy about that. Go around, and when you're walking around campus, I'm guilty of it, not saying hi to people. I should be going around and smiling and be like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, I'm happy, like, woo, you know, kind of, I'm saved, like, fantastic, hallelujah. We don't do that, okay? But that's one of the signs or one of the characteristics that a Christian would have. Instead of peace, I mean, we all like, yeah, peace in the Middle East kind of thing. But it really means to be calm. When your brothers or sisters, how many of you guys have brothers or sisters? I'll pray for you guys daily. Let me tell you, I have three boys right now. And my two older ones, we have to keep knives away from them because they are vicious animals. And they don't mean to be, but they would literally tear each other apart. Now, they're really young, so I don't really hold it against them. I have a 10-year-old. But when I talk to my 10-year-old and I say, "Hey, your brother Aiden's only 4 years old, okay? He just learned how to go to the bathroom by himself. Like, you can't expect him to be, you know, a nice Christian boy." But I tell him, you need to stay calm. If he goes up to you and you're watching TV and he just, like, sucks you in the stomach, you need to kind of be all, 1, 2, 3, 4. You gotta, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying. As a Christian, one of the fruits would be if someone does something to wrong you, if you have brothers and sisters that, you know, will go up and like just smack the back of your head or something like that, you know what? Don't haul off and smack the back of their head. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. But again, we don't know that because I'm trying to translate to this. Peace, stay calm. Just stay calm. Just chill out. Chillax a little bit. Show the love of God through yourself. When it says patience, that's pretty easy. But one of the things we don't have patience in is we complain so much. We tend to go to God constantly and say, "Hey, you know, this isn't right, God. You need to fix it." You go to your parents, "Oh, I need a TV in my room. Come on, you got to fix this stuff." But have faith that God has a plan for you guys. If things are going rough, if things are kind of hard, you know what? Just have patience. God has a plan for you. Understand that patience is a huge, huge thing. You guys get patience? I don't really get patience. I'm still learning. Kindness, gentleness. Do I have to say anymore? Do you guys know what that means? Guys, especially? Yeah. Okay. Kindness and gentleness means if there's a girl, you don't just be like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know? It's not really the cool thing to do, although I am guilty of hitting Sarah a couple times, and I apologize. Sometimes I'm not as gentle as I should be with her because she's like my little sister. And I'm sorry, Sarah. Forgiveness is such a key of fruit, guys. Look at that. Perfect example of bearing fruit. And guys, the last one is faithfulness. And I want you guys to kind of listen here. This verse constantly uses the word abide. Stay close to. Stay plugged into. Abide. Stay faithful in what you do. Stay close to God. Stay plugged into His Word. As weird as it sounds, that's going to help you produce more fruit. That's what Jesus is really telling His disciples. He's saying, look, I'm going to get killed. I'm going to die. It's going to be really bad. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. John is going to be the only one at the cross when I die. And I'll be gone. But let me tell you this. You stay close to me. You remember the word that I taught you. You obey what I have given you as a commandment. You continue to stay close to me by prayer, by worship, and by reading my word. And I will be there for you. And I will help you produce this fruit. These things that I just mentioned, guys, those aren't impossible. For some of you guys, you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't be that. I'm not a gentle person. Guys, abide in Christ and He will produce fruit in your life. And when I say fruit, I hate to use that Christianese kind of stuff, but really, He'll produce those characteristics in your life and He'll show you how to be gentle. And one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, I am so gentle. How did that happen? But really, that's what He's saying, guys. He's taking this time on the Green Mile and He's telling them this. Just abide in me. Stay in me. Stay in my word and continue to pray and have faith. And if you stay in me, I'll never truly leave you. You'll always be plugged in. Do you guys get that? I don't know how to say it any better. It'd be like if your mom and dad knew that they were going to have to die for you. And they would tell you, no matter what, don't forget me. I'm doing this for a reason. Don't forget why I'm dying. Be faithful. And Jesus will be faithful back. You guys get that? Okay. So let me wrap it up real quick, guys. It's been kind of a science lesson. It's kind of been a little crazy. It was kind of a hard message to get through. And there's been a lot of stuff that I gave you. I gave you Mr. Science, and I gave you heaven and hell, and I gave you stuff about your salvation. And for some of you guys tonight... You hear this and you either hear 2 things. Tonight you're either going to hear this as a warning. You're going to hear this as like, he's threatening hell. I'm not threatening hell, guys. I don't want you to think that. The verse isn't threatening hell. You're either going to hear that or you're going to hear a blessing. You're going to hear, oh my gosh, how great is this God that I just have to do these things and He'll continue to feed and produce in my life and continually keep me grafted into the vine and help me grow and through that growth help the vine grow. But I want to address one thing, guys, because I think I know this last week in Vertical we talked to some of the kids, and there's this type of hypocrisy. Anyone know what hypocrisy is? A couple of you guys? No. Guys, I want to talk to you about, if you think this is threatening hell, it's not. But let me tell you, if you heard this as a threat, I need you guys to really examine your lives. I need you to examine yourself if you are a poser. I need you to look at yourself and say, am I a Christian because I say I'm a Christian? Because I come to Velocity on Wednesday? Because I go to Elevate or I go to Lone Tree? Or am I a Christian because when I leave Velocity and when I go home and when I go to school, I almost don't fit in anymore because I am producing fruit, because I am kind, because I am full of love, because I don't agree with the way things are going? I'm warning you that Judas thought he was a Christian. People saw Judas and thought he was a disciple. He hung out with Jesus for 3 years. He was like the financial advisor for them. He took care of all the money for them. People saw Judas and said, that's the one who has it together. But Judas ended up betraying him, and it said here he was cast into the fires. Guys, make sure that your life is bearing fruit, that your mouth isn't talking about it. Guys, what you do here doesn't matter. We can all put on a happy face. We can all say the right things. We can all say, hey, yeah, I'll pray for you, sister, or I'll pray for you, brother. But when you walk out those doors and you go home and you have the chance to pray, are you praying? When your brothers and sisters do irritate you, are you hating them, or are you trying to find a way to fix that? Are you loving on them? Are you giving them grace? When you go to school, are you fitting in and doing the things that fit in, or are you standing out and standing bold for Christ? If you're not doing any of the works, James talks about this. Faith without works is dead. If all you are lip service, and all you do is say the right things, but you don't do and you don't live the life, guys, it's a warning. Fix it. Get it together. And let me just real quickly before I end, because I don't want to leave everyone a bad note. If you guys are living the life as Christians, and trust me, I've seen a lot of you guys around, and I know a lot of you guys live that life. And you guys suffer for Christ, and you bear fruit for Christ. Thank you. Congratulations, because you guys are doing an amazing thing. And I applaud you, and I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that just is so great. Do you guys know what I mean? I have a 10-year-old that'll be up here in 2 years in Velocity, and I thank you for being around, for bearing fruit for him, for showing him the love, showing him what we kind of talked about tonight. Okay, you guys kind of get that? Okay. We're going to pray real quick, and Jen is going to come up and close us in worship. But guys, I want you to take this time of worship. And hey, if you're right with God and you know that you're what we talked about tonight is more of just talking about a blessing for you guys, I want you guys just to stand up and worship and thank God for that. But let me tell you guys, if you're not 100% sure that tonight, if you died, you would go to heaven, if you have any doubt in your mind that if you got in a car wreck tonight and died, that there's a possibility that you think maybe you would go to hell. Guys, tonight there's leaders in the rooms that love you, that care for you, that want to be there for you. Find a leader during this time of worship. Find a leader afterwards if you feel more comfortable then, and ask them, how do I know? Am I a Judas? Am I going to be torn off? Or am I going to be a vine that produces fruit? So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for a time where we can spend just looking at the last things that you said on this earth before you were crucified. How valuable they were, how great they are. And God, I just pray tonight, if there's anyone in this room that feels that maybe they aren't part of the vine, that they would be brave and bold, and that they would feel empowered to stand up, find a leader, and just pray with them, and pray that you would come into their life, pray that you would produce this fruit, pray that you would be empowering to them and continue to feed them, God. And God, for everyone else in the room that is doing such a great job, God, I pray that you just come upon them and you just build them up and build their spirit up, and that you continue to pour into their lives so they can produce fruit upon fruit upon fruit, and they will do mighty things for you, God. Jesus, we love you so much, and I thank you again for time to come together where we can hear amazing worship, where we can praise you, and where we can just really feel your love upon us, God. Lord, I pray that students go out tonight and that they'll be saved, and I pray tomorrow that they will take your word into their schools, and that you will just empower them to share your love with others, God. We lift this time up. I thank you again for just the amazing love that you have given us and the grace that you shine upon us.